From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, this is the closing market report for the 18th day of November 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. Check the cash grain segment with the folks at the Andersons. Hear all about trade agreements, USMCA, and with Japan. During our Ag News segment, we'll hear a little bit about the weather forecast, too. That with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Oh, and Todd Hubbs will be here with his weekly update of what he sees in the marketplace. This week we'll talk about soybeans and the domestic crush right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, corn futures finished the December down 3.5 cents at $3.67¾. The March off 3.5 a bushel as well at $3.77¼. And May corn down 3.5, $3.83. July at $3.88¾, 3¾ lower. And December down 2¼ at $3.93½. The January beans 8 cents lower, $9.10¼. The settlement price, the March at $9.23 down 7¾. May down 7¼ at $9.35. July down 6¾, $9.45¾. The settlement price in November beans $9.46¾, down 6.5 cents. Bean oil up 21 cents. The bean meal down $5.90. Soft red winter wheat finished July up 3¼ for the harvest month at $5.17¾. And the hard red at $4.40¾, a quarter of a cent higher. December live cattle finished down 40 cents at $118.70. Feeders in the November were up 12.5 at $146.37½. The January 20 cents higher at $144.47½. And lean hogs down 45 cents at $62.75. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, you're quite welcome, Ty. Glad to be here.
Well, glad, but it seems to me that you've had some pretty down days for Mondays recently, and this week is no different. What happened in the soybean market?
Yeah, I did talk to Wayne Nelson about switching days so I could get turnaround Tuesday instead of down and dirty Monday. It's been brutal. Yes, it has. Led by the soybean complex. Part of it is fundamental and part of it's technically, but fundamentally, I think the trades, continue to doubt phase one of this trade agreement. Also, too, we're seeing the Chinese news that there's real no confirmation that state-owned companies did not secure. They have not really been announced, but they've secured any modest tonnage of U.S. beans that they said was happening in the pipeline, and so without that confirmation, the market's just kind of weighing on itself. Technically, we've carved out a head and shoulders top formation. We've started the downside process of that technical formation, and we've been just failing to hold support levels on the way down. January beans needed to close above the 9.12 Larry today. They closed at 9.10. So next area support is the 9.01 area. That's 62% back down to the low we had in September. Then the head and shoulders technical top there projects down to maybe 8.90. So the technicians are kind of in charge here. But the market's becoming extremely oversold. Momentum indicators are kind of flatlined, and we are due for a 10-week cycle low. So hopefully we can follow through a little bit tonight, tomorrow, and have a higher close tomorrow and start the healing process.
Well, we are getting closer to the end of the harvest season. We're still getting numbers from USDA on the Monday weekly crop progress and condition reports. What does the trade expect this week?
They are going to have an average trade guess of corn harvest 77% complete. Last week we were 66%. The trade range is 71% to 80%. Of course, the main areas is the western and northern parts of the growing region, still lagging there. On the beans, the average estimate for harvest completion is about 91% as a nation versus 85% last week. Thus far, the range is kind of dialed in between 89% and 93% complete. It just varies from area to area. I know locally here, we're fairly well caught up. Still a few areas dealing with too wet weather. And a lot of areas are still facing this LP propane situation, where it's been a challenge to get the gas to dry corn on the farm.
Yeah, so that creates a problem both on the farm and for some limited elevators, I suspect. A problem there, mostly with the elevator system. It's just a matter of throughput and having to shut down early. Days are getting really short, and I suppose farmers are thinking they're now in for a long haul for whatever crop they have left. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's just going to take some time in through here, but, this equipment's good enough if you can get some solid footing to still carve through it. It's going to be hard to knock out beans if the sun doesn't come out and the moisture content stays fairly high. If the temperatures can stay up here and get up into the upper 40s, low 50s, that's going to help a ton, because the elevators have the green light to go ahead and not get fined within the parameters to get aggressive on drying this down.
You mentioned early on that the Chinese had not been in for as many purchases as most had hoped. What do exports look like for it as it compares to what USDA has? And for corn, are they behind pace?
Well, on the sales, we still have the entire marketing year to go, so you can't rule anything out. We are lagging behind last year's pace, and the projections are, a little bit lower. On the shipments, though, we did ship out 1.5 million metric tons of beans, so we did see a decent shipment. Corn and wheat shipments were within expectations. But the thing on the Chinese and the business is we're missing our time window. This is the prime time window for the Northern Hemisphere to secure these sales and ship these sales ahead of the South American harvest, which takes place, fairly quickly here in the February 1st of March. So our time window is closing fairly quickly. So if we're going to see something happen, it needs to happen soon. Otherwise, we've got to wait till we get into January, February, and watch the weather pattern. The weather pattern's favorable right now. They're getting the crop in, even though it's a little late. Brazil's projected to be about 67% planted. But as they get in the growing season, if that weather pattern would change, maybe that would question the supply there. But it's going to take a dock strike, trucker strike, port strike, or something to spook China, to come in and secure additional supplies from the U.S.
How about for corn? What does it look like?
Well, corn overall, the main news there as far as export news is the ethanol side of the equation. We need to continue to see mainly ethanol go to the southern hemisphere, Brazil. It'd be nice to get some ethanol sales to Asia. But the big news is domestic consumption. Particularly in livestock. These livestock numbers continue to be strong. There is some huge corn needs out there from the standpoint the cash bids continue to remain strong. When you have a major grain company paying to dry corn down to 19%, and when you see country elevators having the strongest basis or strongest cash bids in the fall time window, tells me that there's some strong demand underneath the market. And that creates opportunity for producer, because whenever the basis is strong, it is a signal to move some cash grain, versus when basis is weak, that's a signal to store cash grain.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the United States-Mexico-Canada, or USMCA, trade deal is on the minds of many in Washington, D.C., and in rural America. All are hopeful that the deal will get done. Over the weekend on CBS, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, who will have to call the deal to the floor, said she, too, is hopeful, but hasn't yet set a date.
I don't have a date when it'll come up, because it cannot be any sooner then the trade representative agrees to the proper enforcement so that our workers really do get a better deal than they have in NAFTA.
On that note, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer has been meeting with Democrats, and the Undersecretary for Trade at the United States Department of Agriculture, Ted McKinney, says those meetings appear to be going well.
I, too, read and hear good things. We know that USTR and the Democratic committee assigned by Speaker Pelosi are working in good faith and are making progress. I believe that, and that's very good news. But ultimately, I'm a farm kid where proof is in the pudding. Show me. And I still haven't seen the legislation go to the Hill. And it's not going to go until the Speaker asks for it to.
McKinney says time is running out for both the Democrats and the administration to get the USMCA done, and that he thinks it needs to be finished off before the end of the year.
History shows that once you cross that January 1-2 threshold, you're in the funny season, and politics become ever so much more difficult, as if they're not already. So I know that all of ag wants this done this year, because we need to send a signal to the rest of the world that we can and will consummate a deal. I've had people tell me, until you show me that you can do a deal with your neighbors, I'm not interested. Well, this is our opportunity. So we've got to get the legislation pulled to the Hill, and that starts with Speaker Pelosi making the request. I hold out positive. It looks positive. It sounds positive. There's progress. But until that legislation goes to the Hill, I have to be a little more skeptical.
Skeptical that the USMCA trade agreement can and will be signed into law. On the other hand, the trade agreement that the president negotiated with the Japanese in September of this year does not need to go before the U.S. Congress. And that one looks very positive, says Ted McKinney.
It's done at the administrative level, and we have just been waiting for the Diet, which most people know is the Japanese equivalent to our Congress. They've got to come back into session. I'm told it's not going to be a heavy lift. Now, we've been surprised before, but I'm told this is to happen. And so if the Diet takes it up, as their schedule says they will, and if it's not long and drawn out, I hope that we have that sooner than later. And it's a wonderful deal. It brings so many U.S. agricultural and food products onto the same tariff reduction, tariff phase-out stage as the other TPP 11 countries, and that's been the ask.
As stated by McKinney, if approved, the agreement with Japan would put U.S. producers on par for access to the Japanese market with the countries that signed on to the CPTPP. The United States was initially part of the TPP negotiations until President Trump pulled out of the agreement early in his term. As he does every week, Todd Hubbs now joins us to take a look at the agricultural marketplace. He's written about crush for soybeans on the Farm Doc Daily website. You can find that right now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Todd, of course, an ag economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Hey, thanks for being with us. Tell me about this article.
Well, we got the NOPA crush report on Friday, and it was very strong. It was up more than I think the trade expected at about 175.4 million bushels, which is a pretty sharp recovery from the weakness we saw in September, which saw USDA lower their crush estimates for crush forecast for 2019 marketing year down to 2.015 billion bushels. So that recovery is nice, and it sort of fits in with what we think. You know, coming into harvest, we saw buying from China sort of mediate a little bit in October. Crush margins are still good. We've seen soybean meal get up above $300 a ton, and soybean oil is above 30 cents a pound. So at these moderate soybean prices, the crush is still strong. And I think, you know, there's some positive demand conditions out there for both meal and oil as we look through the rest of the marketing year. I think pork and poultry production are going to be very strong based on, you know, everything going on with African swine fever and China opening up their markets to poultry imports. So I think there's going to be some good domestic demand for soybean meal. And soybean oil, the world veg oil markets, the ending stocks are down in the world. We've seen very strong palm oil prices as China's not crushing as much, so they have more demand for vegetable oil. So I think there's a lot of support there for the products from crush as we move through the marketing year. And while for the last 10 months, we need crush to be about 1% more than last year at the same time, it looks very feasible, and we could exceed the current USDA projection. Now, all this is prefaced on there's no major trade deal, and all of a sudden there's a lot of buying of soybeans on the small production level we have. Right now there's a lot of uncertainty on that front, and so I think crush is on pace to hit the projections or exceed them.
Yeah, on that note about exports, just as a quick reminder and clarification, the Chinese have lifted the tariffs on the import of U.S. soybeans.
They've not. So they set aside so many million metric tons for no tariff, right? It's not a complete lifting, and they're buying up to that level pretty much. We still see decent buying from China of soybeans, but it's nothing like what they normally do. And they're still, they've been strong buyers out of South America, and they've set up a bunch of deals for meal exports around the world. So it looks like to me they're positioning themselves up for the long haul if we can't get some kind of trade deal in place. And I think that may be the sticking point we're hearing in the trade negotiations, where it sounds like the administration wants to pin them down on $40 or $50 billion, and they're like, well, I don't know if we can do that right in the next year, because they've set up a bunch of agreements with other people. And why would they walk away from Brazil or Argentina or Ukraine or Russia when there's no guarantee that this whole thing's going to work out in the long run, right? You got to keep your supply flexible, I think. So even if there's a trade one or phase one trade deal in place and they agree to buy X amount of soybeans, I don't know how they get to $50 billion when the most they've ever done in a year is a little over $20 billion. I mean, it could be a lot of pork, it could be a lot of poultry, but yeah, it seems, I think that's probably what's going on right now. The administration's pushing for this big number that came out of nowhere, right? And China's saying, nah, we can't guarantee that kind of number, flooding our markets and turning away from other sources. I think now's the time for them to start building robust supply chains for the long term. At least that's what I would do if I was them.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, let's start here in the United States, where surprisingly enough, we still have an awful lot of crop yet to come in, more than usual, or at least of the last decade or so. What can you tell me about weather across the Midwest?
Yeah, as we look across the Midwest for the next couple of weeks, this week is a fairly open week. We don't see any big storms here. There are going to be a few fast-moving frontal systems that will produce very light scattered activity, and primarily rain, not even any kind of snow. So no big deal here for this week. It's next week where some of the longer-range computer model guidance is starting to show a bit more active pattern, with the potential of a series of stronger and even more encompassing storms, kind of starting, you know, right before Thanksgiving and potentially over Thanksgiving weekend. So that's the time frame to watch here coming up. But you know, until then, or at least over the next 7 to 8 days, it looks pretty open here and helping to at least, you know, improve the situation following the past couple of weeks, which have been quite difficult.
Anything that we should be watching in South America?
At this time for South America, we're not seeing any issues evolve at this time in terms of dryness or any kind of long duration heat. Rather, the pattern across the vast majority of summer crop acreage will feature favorable weather, meaning that there will be frequent opportunities for rain, as well as a lack of any kind of extreme heat. And that's true from Argentina all the way through Uruguay and Paraguay and up across Brazil as well. So, you know, no sign of any ridging becoming a feature inland over South America. So from now through the early part of next month, looks like generally favorable weather with no major issues developing.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois, and joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. We're not very far away from the beginning of the winter meeting season. Now, I know you may not have finished all your field work up yet, but get yourself set. No Farm Assets Conference because you're late this year. However, the Illinois Farm Economic Summits are due to take place the week of the 16th of December in Mount Vernon, Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. You can join myself and the Ag Economist. We'll be making that statewide tour the week of December the 16th for our half-day event. Each and every venue starts with a bit of some breakfast, not a whole breakfast, but there'll be some things there, and then wraps up with a noon-hour meal. The cost is just $80, and of course, we'll have Gary Schnittke and Scott Irwin and Todd Hubbs and Jonathan Kappas and so many more along for you to listen to and to learn from. Again, that's the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, the week of December the 16th in Mount Vernon, Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. You can sign up now. The cost is just $80 online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Hit the link at the very top of the page. Let's check the cash grain market now with Amy Sage. She's at the Andersons. Hey, good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Todd.
Things are quiet there at the elevator?
Yeah, we still are getting some corn in here, and I would imagine we will be for the next week or so, but it is starting to wind down, and receipts are slowing down a bit here as we get things wrapped up.
Is the basis still very strong?
It has been. We actually we really stayed steady throughout harvest on corn basis, and then had a slight improvement here a few weeks ago, and we've maintained that. And same with beans. We've continued to see bean basis improve throughout the course of harvest, and I guess no reason to think it's not going to continue to do so at this point. You know, as we start to see people get filled up on corn, and maybe see a little bit more go outdoors to get this thing wrapped up, you may see it soften up a hair, but all in all, it's remained strong, and don't really have a reason to think that it's not going to stay that way.
So demand seems like it has run, or at least pace, run behind a little bit for both corn and soybeans. The crop a little short, but that was kind of expected. Why do you suppose basis has been so good?
You know, I think it's a reflection in this area of the space that's been built, and you know, there is carry in the market still today. It's a little bit different scenario than what you saw in a 2012 situation where we had positive basis levels, but the market was inverted. So I think, you know, at this point, people want to make sure that they're maximizing their space, and there's been more capacity built in this part of the world.
And capacity, you mean farmer capacity or elevator capacity or both?
All of the above. Yep, we've seen in the past 10 years, there's been quite a bit of space built, and you know, when there's carry in the market, that pays. And so with the yields off a little bit this year, I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing basis stay strong.
What are you watching most heavily this week?
Well, of course, trade negotiations are going to be very influential, and you know, really that's kind of the biggest player for us right now. Of course, harvest weather, South American weather, demand and progress are all going to be influential. But really, I think the trade is watching the negotiations pretty closely right now.
And your bids for the day are?
You bet. Corn tonight is $3.76, and soybeans are $8.95.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org and to visit that Farm Doc Daily website to get your tickets for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Those are coming up in the month of December. They start the 16th, that's a Monday, and run all week long. We'll be across the state. Check out all the dates, the times, and the places right there at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And I hope to see you along with the Ag Economist at this year's Illinois Farm Economic Summits. I'm Todd Gleason.